Welcome to Grace Tabernacle. We invite you to join us on the journey to transform people into contagious, wholehearted worshipers and followers of Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful toward achieving that goal in your life. Now, let's join in the fellowship of Grace Tabernacle for a relevant message from our pastor, Gary Washburn, that we believe will lead you closer to the heart of God.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I've got a word for you tonight. I really do. And this is just for you. And I have been praying for you. Others have been praying for you. And here's a word for you tonight. And I'm going to talk to you about becoming fully persuaded. Becoming fully persuaded. You may not know it, but that's God's goal for your life and my life. And when you start this journey of faith with God, like we heard so many young people the other day, Sunday, you know, many of them were born again or began a faith journey. This is where you're going. You just don't know how you're going to get there. But the goal of your faith is to get to this point where you're going to become, you and I are going to become fully persuaded. That's, we can just say that with faith. We believe that when we choose to believe God, obey God, and we begin this walk of faith, we begin our faith journey, that we know that God's taken us somewhere. See? He isn't just trying to fill up our time while we're here on the earth with just little things to do, but he's taken us to a point in faith that we're going to have the same, we walk on the same walk Jesus walked. We do the same things Jesus did. And that is not far off for you. It is God's goal and God's plan for your life and my life. And the thing is that we've got to do what, we've got to make sure that we let our minds be renewed, but God says that we're not to draw back, that he takes no pleasure, Scripture says in Hebrews 10:38, but my righteous one shall live by faith. See, you started this journey by getting born again. Now, everybody here's got a unique story. We could listen all night long to how you came to faith in Christ. Maybe you were a child, maybe you were an adult, maybe you came out of a life of drug addiction or whatever it was, but some way or another you came to faith in Christ. That began your faith journey, but that was not the end of faith. And it doesn't even mean you're in faith right now. And I'll prove that to you in a few moments. Because this faith is always moving. Faith is active. It's not stagnant. See, so faith began your faith journey. Now God has other places for you to go, and it requires that you live by faith. Your whole life on this earth is all about living by faith. Your whole life. Everything in your life here is now about learning to live by faith in God. That's what God's plan is. And he says in Hebrews 10:38, and it's not on the screen, so don't worry. I'm just floating here for a moment. My righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So it's possible that you to begin in faith, but then shrink back and not walk by faith because you're afraid or whatever. And you cease walking by faith. That's the danger. You and I are to live by faith. And we know that every day of our life, there should be something in our life to where we are called upon to exercise faith in God, to trust him for something, believe him for something, declare something. You know, there should be a daily process where we exercise faith because we're called to live by faith. You're called to live by faith. And you know, this may sound harsh. I don't mean for it to sound harsh to you. But God is more concerned about growing your faith than he is about making you comfortable. Therefore, it may be necessary for you to stay in a circumstance that seems difficult and you don't know why God hasn't manifested some prayer answer that you've been longing for long enough. But God knows that you need that resistance in your life to push against so that you'll grow in faith to become the man and woman of faith that God has intended for you to become. And that's just, in my book, that's just wrong, God. But God knows what it takes for you and I to live by faith. I asked God one time for big amount of money. I thought, God, if you give me all this money, that'd solve my problems. I wouldn't have to worry about taking care of bills and all this kind of stuff. And then I could go over here and do things, you know, you want me to do, or I think you want me to do, and I'd be generous and I'd do this. You know how you try to make deals with God, right? Make it sound like it's faith, you know. But God made it very clear to me that if he put $1 million, let's say, in my bank account today, he still would want me to walk by faith in him. And for some people, probably me included, that if you put $1 million in their bank account, you wouldn't walk to the level of faith that he wants you to walk into. We'd say, sure, I'd like to try. But God knows what you and I need. He is concerned about reaching the goal of your faith, and that's becoming fully persuaded. And he's got some steps ordained for you and I. And the great example that we're going to look at tonight of walking by faith is the example of Abraham. He's one of the greatest examples of walking and living by daily consistent faith. And you got to remember, Abraham in his day, he didn't have a Bible. He didn't have the church. He wasn't born from above. He didn't have the Holy Spirit. He didn't have a bunch of believers around to encourage him to walk in faith. So he knew something about God that we New Testament believers need to know about being fully persuaded. And you know the story. Pretty much, I'll review a little bit of it, but God gave Abram, his name was Abram before it was Abraham, gave Abram a promise that Abram himself and his wife Sarai would have many descendants, and they would have more descendants than the stars of the sky. And they would inherit the land that's on the news every single night now over in that area. And much of that land Israel does not occupy, but God said he gave them that land and it's theirs forever. So you hear it on the news every night, but that's what's going on. God gave them that land, the descendants of Abraham, the Jews, and they would inherit the land, but Abram himself would have many descendants. Well, he's age 75 when he gets this amazing promise from God. And then years later, he's 86 years old, and he has a child, which is a miracle in itself at 86. He has a child called Ishmael. With Ishmael's name means God listens. So he has a child, which is, wow, that's a miracle, 86 years old to father a child. He has it through Hagar, his handmaiden, and there wasn't anything nasty or wrong about that. It was a disgrace not to have children, and Sarai and Abram thought this might be the way God meant when he said you're going to have descendants. And it wasn't anything necessarily wrong that they did, but God didn't direct them to do that. So they were led by their mind rather than being led by the Spirit of God, being led by faith. So they have Ishmael, and Abram thinks that this is the way God's going to give me descendants. And so years go by. 13 years later, Abram is age 99. He's visited by God again, and this time God reinforces the promise he said to him because he knows Abraham doesn't understand. And so he says to Abram, I'm going to change your name from Abram, which is noble father, to Abraham, which is father of a multitude. And in addition to this, I'm going to change Sarai's name, which means princess, to Sarah, which means mother of nations. So now every time you say your wife's name, Sarah, you're going to be saying mothers of nations. Out of your mouth, you're going to be declaring something. By faith, it's going to happen that it hasn't happened in the natural yet. And every time Sarah says Abraham, she's going to be calling you father of a multitude, even though it hasn't happened yet. You're speaking it as though it were so. So God set them up, in other words, where they couldn't fail. So they're speaking faith out of their words. And God reemphasized to Abraham at this point, he says, you're going to have many descendants, Abraham. And Abraham says these words in Genesis 17, verse 19. Oh God, oh Lord, oh that Ishmael, God listens, may stand before you. Genesis 17, 19. You should have that on the screen up there for everybody. Oh God, may Ishmael stand before you. But God said, No, no, that's not what I'm talking to you about, Abraham. Sarah, your wife, is going to bear you a son, and you're going to call his name Isaac, which means laughter. No, it's not going to be Ishmael. I know you look at it in the natural and think, well, the only son I got, the only descendant I have is Ishmael. Oh, that Ishmael may stand before you, Lord, and be the fulfillment of the promise. And God says, no, 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 no. Sarah, mother of nations, is going to have your child. And you're going to call his name laughter. Because it's going to be so unbelievable. You're having a hard time with it right now, Abraham. And in Genesis 18, God visits Abraham in the form of three people. You read the story in Genesis 18 tonight. It'd be good reading for you tonight before you go to bed. Read Genesis 18. God visits Abram in the form of three people, three men. They look like men like you and I. God has many different forms, by the way. He can visit people. And God visited him in the form of three men. People say it's God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I can't prove that, but that makes a pretty good case for me. But here he is. God visits Abram in the form of three men. And the three men, while they're visiting and sitting around a little bit of a dinner, one of them says, behold, Abraham, this time next year, your wife Sarah is going to have a son. This time next year. Now, he's been waiting for almost 25 years. From the beginning when God first told him to Ishmael, and from Ishmael 13 years later, now here he is, 99 years old, almost 100 years old, and this person speaks up in the voice of the Lord. He hears him out of it, and he says, Abraham, behold, this time next year, your wife is going to have a son. Well, guess who was listening over by the tent door? There's Sarah. And she's over there, and the scripture says she laughed to herself, or laughed in herself. Like, when she heard that, she went, oh, yeah, right. What? She laughed. And then that God, in the form of that person, said, why did Sarah laugh? Why did Sarah laugh? I bet she paid real close attention after that. And he says, this time next year, she's going to have a child. And then he says these amazing words, which you should see up on the screen right now. Is anything too hard or too difficult for the Lord? Is it? Is it? People of faith, is it? Have you been in a situation before where people said that's absolutely impossible? There is no way. That is not going to happen. Well, Abraham's in this place, and if you're not in this place now, you will be in this place one day, and it's a divine setup. Because God has got to get your faith to the level where you believe there is nothing too difficult for God, there is nothing impossible for God, and most people in the church will quickly say, oh, God can do anything, He can do anything. But when it comes to a difficult circumstance in their own life, they're not quick to say that. They say, well, you know, the doctor said, you got 6 months. Well, and so they settle. I said they settle. Rather than moving on in faith to the level of being fully persuaded. That's where most Christians get. They get to a point in their faith, on their faith journey, when they get to that place where it's never been done before, they've never had anything like that done for them before, they settle. They settle. It's, well, we'll take this deal. It's like the devil tries to plea bargain with you. He says, well, now, you know, that's ridiculous. You ain't ever going to have that. What you've been hoping and dreaming for 25 years, you know good and well it hadn't happened by now, so God doesn't want you to have it. You were just daydreaming in the first place, so why don't you just forget about it, and why don't you just settle for this? And that's where most people do. They settle instead of going on. And there are few that live like Abraham who become fully persuaded that what God had promised, he will do, and never to settle. So is there anything too hard for the Lord? I would have loved to have been a fly on the tent wall hearing Abraham and Sarah after the Lord left them their meeting. Sarah, did you laugh? No, I didn't laugh. Well, the Lord said you laughed, so yes, you laughed. No, I didn't laugh. It wasn't a real laugh. It was kind of like a chuckle. Now, for one more year, because the Lord said, now, this time next year, Sarah's going to have a son, and you're going to name him Isaac. So for another year, they've got to walk another year in faith. They've been walking in faith for 24 years. They got to walk one more year in faith. Both Abraham and Sarah, they walked in faith and they strengthened their faith in God every time they spoke their name. Sarah, not Sarai. Sarah, mother of nations. What are we having for dinner tonight? Oh, Abraham, father of a multitude. You know we always have lamb chops on Wednesday night. Every time they spoke the name, are you seeing how faith is built? Consistently, regularly, daily. It's not something you go and get on church, an injection on Sunday morning and then try to live it out the rest of the week. It's daily speaking what God has said. Consistently. Abraham, father of a multitude. Sarah, mother of nations. And they kept saying this every time they said the name, they were speaking faith. And your words will either strengthen your faith or they weaken your faith. You be careful about your words. You're the people of faith. My point is this, they had to grow in faith the same way you and I do. Your faith has got to grow. My faith has got to grow. It's not going to just get there on its own. Your faith has to grow the same way their faith had to grow, and that was daily, consistently speaking words of faith is a must for every Christian. Speaking words of faith. Now, if you say, for example, you come up here and we pray for you, and or someone laid hands on you, believer, and just declared the healing of the Lord is on you. You are the healed of the Lord. And you walk out of that and say, oh, thank you, God. Maybe you even got a tingling feeling. That was wonderful. And you walk out. And the next thing you know, you go to dinner with some friends during that week. And they say, well, you know, how's that condition you had that, you know, you had to go to the doctor for? What's the doctor tell you got to do? Well, I don't know. He says there really ain't much he can do for me. And I'm going to have to take this medication for the rest of my life. Do you see what you've just done? You've talked out of both sides of your mouth. You come to church with believers and you claim, I am the healed of the Lord. And then you walk out and you negate every bit of it by talking unbelief. You can't do that and walk in faith. Are you with me? God has called you to a higher calling. You should say to anybody, whether they're believers or unbelievers, I'm healed. And they say, well, you don't look like you're healed. It doesn't matter what I look like. God says I'm healed. I believe I'm healed. And they say, well, you're crazy. That's right. I'm crazy. Crazy in love with God. I believe His word more than what I see. See, I mean, when you start living this faith and not just talking about it, and I'm not saying that you folks do, you Wednesday night folks are the faithful few, but what I'm saying is that when you really live this thing, you're going to look radical, fanatical, and crazy to the world, and you're going to look crazy to most of the church. Most of the church will reject you. They'll just say, you're just off your rocker. They will. So here they are, and we realize that we have to grow our faith and get stronger in faith just like Abraham and Sarah had to. God took 25 years to get them to this point. 25 years. Now, there are different levels of faith, and I want to bring that up to you right now and show you something. There are different levels of faith. Different levels of faith. The Bible says that. First of all, there's no faith. There are people at this faith right now who are believers. You say, how can a believer have no faith? Well, Jesus gave you an example. Here we see Jesus himself actually said these words when in Mark chapter 4, when he stilled the sea, when he calmed the raging sea, because they were fearful, Lord, don't you care? We're about to perish. He stood up to them and he calmed the sea, be still. And then he turned to them and he said, how is it you have no faith? Now, wait a minute. Who's he talking to? He's talking to these 12 guys who left their home. They said they believed in their following Jesus. They left their business. And look at what he says. He says, you have no faith. Now, is he lying? No, no. They have no faith. Here's the point. You can start out in faith. You can be born again by of faith in God, but it doesn't mean you're in faith right now. If you're not walking by faith, brother, you have no faith. So it isn't just, okay, I'm saved, so I'm a person of faith. No, no, no. You started out as a person, but you got to continue on as a person of faith. I'm not saying you have to be born again. I'm saying that you continue the walk of faith. A walk of faith is a walk. It's today I take steps of faith in obedience to what God's told me to do. The next day I take other steps of faith. You see, it's a walk. So there's no faith. Every day requires steps of faith to walk by faith. So unbelievers, there are unbelieving believers in the church. There are unbelieving believers in the church. They don't have any faith. They don't do anything that requires a faith. They go to church like you. They read the Bible maybe like you. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. They do a lot of other things, but they don't live by faith. They pretty much, if you listen to them long enough, they talk like unbelievers. The words that come out of their mouth, they talk like people of the world, and they'll do the things of people of the world, and they live pretty much with no faith, zero faith. They stepped in the water a long time ago and they got baptized because they believed at that moment. But right now, there's just no faith there. And they're in a dangerous situation. Very dangerous situation. There's a second group of people called a people of little faith. And here's the story in Mark chapter 14. Jesus is walking across the water in the middle of a storm, and the disciples see him from a boat and they are frightened when they see him. And Peter's at least bold enough to say, Lord, if that's you, bid me come on the water to you. And Jesus said, come. He steps out of the boat and does something no one else has ever done, and he walks on water to Jesus. But then he notices the waves around him, the wind and all that, and he begins to sink. And what does Jesus say to him? Oh, ye of little faith. This is a man that walked on the water. I ain't never walked on the water. I've tried. How many of you tried? Yeah. And you know the reason you couldn't walk on the water? The Lord didn't tell you to walk on the water. If he told you to walk on, he said, come, you could do it. See, there's no limit there. But he tells Peter, of all people, the man who walked on, he says, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? You came this far. You could have come all the way. Why did you doubt? And then there's a third person, all right, that shows great faith, and that's the centurion. Here's a man who's not born again, doesn't have the Spirit of God in him. This is in the old, still, this is not the New Testament yet, even though it's in your New Testament. Jesus hasn't died yet. Holy Spirit's not in it. Here's a man who believes the Word of God. He's a centurion. He's not even Jewish. He comes to Jesus because he's got a slave, a servant who's dying near death. And he's asked the Lord, would you come to my house and heal my servant? And Jesus says, well, sure, I will. And so he starts to make his way. And the man realizes that Jesus doesn't need to come to his house. He says, Lord, you just speak the word and that's enough and it'll be done. And Jesus turned around and looked at him and said, he marveled at him. He said, that's great faith. I haven't seen great faith like this in all of Israel. Just tell me to speak the word and it's done. That's great faith. Now, are you, where are you so far on all these levels? Sorry. Are you at this level? You should be at this level. And in this church, you should at least be here where, Lord, you just speak the word, it's done. Because we go around telling people, by his stripes we were healed. He spoke the word, it's done. See, you should be at this level, at least a minimum. But where are we going? Well, we're going to another level. We're going to the level of Abraham, who the Bible says, number four, was strong in faith. Now, this is the example of Abraham is where we see Abraham had to grow now. He started out with no faith. Then he grew in little faith. And he got to the point of great faith. And then he got to the point where he became fully persuaded. That's where you're going. That's God's plan for your life, my life, this church, this community, to experience being fully persuaded. Now, there's a key to growing from no faith to the point of being strong in faith or fully persuaded. And I want to show you the scripture. Here it is, Romans chapter 4, verses 19 through 21. And being not, speaking of Abraham now, this is described, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Go on to the next verse. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded, say fully persuaded, that what God had promised, he was able to perform. I want that to grab a hold of you tonight and literally shake you awake. And shake you out of doubt and shake you out of unbelief and shake you out of little faith or no faith. God, just grab hold every one of us here and shake us to the point of alertness to what is potentially possible for us starting right now. Being fully persuaded, what God promised, he was able to do. He got there by growing in faith, just like you and I. Listen, Abraham had to deal with physical circumstances like you and I have to deal with. When God came to him at age 75 and says, you're going to have a child. Even at age 75, he thought, I can't have a child. My wife can't have a child. Her womb is dead. And then 25 years later, so he had to daily live in this physical body that was limited. He had physical senses. Physical senses are given to you as a gift so that you can be aware of things around you in a physical world. His physical senses, his body told him, you can't have a child. And he had to focus on God's promise to him more than his body. It says he contemplated his body. That's what Scripture said. He contemplated his body. He was aware. He wasn't denying the reality that his body was old. He wasn't 19 years old anymore. His body parts probably didn't even work, but he contemplated the fact that that's true. That may be true. But God's promise is greater than what my body's saying. And that's where you are when you're into healing, see. When you're believing God for healing, you've got to realize, you contemplate your body. Yeah, I know the doctor said this, and I know they said this, and I understand, but I believe God more than my listening to my body. God's voice is louder to me than my own body's voice. Listen, this is very critical. I mean critical. I mean it's a life and death issue. If you're believing God has healed you, see, and you still have the symptoms in your body, let's say of cancer or whatever like that, you got to be very careful of what's going in these ears. You really do. And you've got to be careful who's talking to you, even in the church. For example, let's say someone's been diagnosed with some sort of disease, and there you are, and you believe God's, you just take hold of God's word, by his stripes we were healed, by his stripes I am healed. I believe that, God, I take hold of that promise from you, and I believe that, even though I contemplate this is what's in my body, I believe your word. And then you go to church, And there in church, you know, you tell some people around you, some friends, you know, the doctor diagnosed me with this. And they come up because they mean well, and they say, well, we want to pray for God to heal you. Now, wait a minute, what have you just done? What have you just done? They mean well, they're believers. Believers will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's right, but you've already said God has healed you. And now you're letting people come up to you and lay hands on you and ask God to do what he's already done. Tell me who's a liar. Help me. You said God has healed. By his stripes I was healed. Is it wrong then for people to come up here and lay hands and pray for me to be healed? Well, it would be like this. Let's say you got saved. Praise God. Got saved Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Now, have some people come up and pray for you to get saved again. Does that make any sense? Well, I want people to pray for me to get saved because, you know, I was saved Sunday, but I'm not sure I'm saved right now. Well, if God saves you, he does a good job. He seals the spirit. It's not undone, see? And so you see what I'm trying to point out to you? The importance of, be careful, even in church, of believers coming up and negating what God has already done by unbelief, by words. If you are the healed of the Lord, what should people do then, believers do, when they come up and say, oh, we want to pray for you? Well, thank you. Well, just join with me in thanking God and praising God for healing me. Lay hands on me and let's just join with me. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, I'm the healed of the Lord. Thank you, Father, that by your stripes I was healed. See? Now, that's in alignment with God. That's okay. But you really get off base over here if you start down that little... And in the church, you learn this stuff. We're going to pray for you, brother. Well, you don't... Not you ain't going to pray for me that way. Because you're going to undo the faith that I already have. And I don't really care whether you please with it or not. I only need to please him. And the only thing that pleases him is faith. And I'm staying in faith. I'm not getting in faith one moment and out of it the next. I'm walking in faith, you see. And you finish what God has begun by continuing to walk in faith. So be careful with your words, you see. Now, Abraham had to contemplate his own body. There might have been pain there. But Romans 4:20 in the New American Standard says it this way. I want you to see it. Now, I'd like you to say it out loud with me. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, here's a point here to really help you understand. He grew strong in faith. That's what you can do. Don't believe the lie of the enemy that some people just have a greater, God's given them a greater faith than you. No. You can grow stronger in faith, no matter where you are, until you reach the point of being fully persuaded. And this is the point. Abraham grew strong in faith. How did Abraham, without a Bible, without a church, without a faith preacher, I mean, even his wife doubted to some degree that, whoa, this is going to happen. How was he able to walk in such a level of faith that he got to that point? He grew. His faith grew. And yours does too. Your faith is growing right now. It's either increasing or decreasing. And if we listen to your words long enough, we can tell which way you are. See, Abraham grew strong in faith, just like a weightlifter. A weightlifter grows stronger by using his muscles to press against resistance. The same way the Christian can strengthen his faith through declaring God's word and stand resisting all the negative talk and all the negative thinking. You resist that. And you press against it by speaking what God says, even in the natural circumstances. And by doing that, you grow stronger in faith. And let me tell you something. Growing stronger in faith is your responsibility. It's not mine, and it's not God's. It's your responsibility. You have the level of faith right now that you want to have. And your faith can get stronger, though, if you want to. And your responsibility is to grow your faith to the level of Abraham's faith, just like that. God's not a respecter of persons, where you are fully persuaded in God. You believe God more than what you see, taste, touch, and hear, and feel. Now, God won't do this for you. He won't grow your faith. You grow your faith. He'll give you opportunities to grow your faith. But you have to press against whatever the resistance is right now. See, faith has to have a blueprint. A blueprint. Like this building had to have a blueprint long before it was constructed. Architects and engineers got together and they created a blueprint. And that's what hope is. Hope is a blueprint for faith. See, faith sees what God hopes for your life. God has a hope for your life. He has a plan for you. He has hopes for you. I want to see you do this. I want to see you accomplish this. I want to see you do this in your life. And so God has this blueprint called hope. How are you going to get it to come into the material world in which you live? How's it going to become the natural for you? And how's it going to become a reality in your life? Through faith. Through faith. No other way. It ain't just going to happen. It's going to take faith, believing in that hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Or faith brings the substance of what's hoped for into reality. Are you with me? How do you get it? By faith. God has the blueprint. Here it is. You can have abundant life in Jesus Christ. You can overcome everything the devil throws at you. I don't care what it is. You can overcome every sickness. You can overcome poverty. You can overcome any lack whatsoever you face in this world. Anything, you can overcome it. That's what the blueprint says. But it's going to take faith to make it real in your life. And I don't mean faith where you say it one time, you pray it one time, and there it is. And that may happen if God so desires. But most of us, it's a walk by faith. I'm going to walk by faith today. Tomorrow morning, I got to get up. And I don't walk by yesterday's faith. I've got to walk by my faith today. See? My circumstances may be different from yesterday, but I'm walking by faith. Are you with me? You understand? This is important. This is where we live. I know this is a lot of stuff on a Wednesday night to pour out to people. But, you know, this is when God gave it, and here you are. And so, we Christians have resistance in this life. No question. Everybody does. But we push against it. And you have to make up your mind every day of your life. I choose to walk by faith in God today. Tomorrow morning, you're going to have to choose. I choose to walk by faith in God today. And if you decide not to choose, if you just get overwhelmed by circumstances, you know, depression, discouragement, just a lot of disappointments happen in this world, and you just let those things get to you instead of still confessing your faith and believing the blueprint of hope, and you let those things overwhelm you, you can get so depressed and so discouraged that you just decide, I ain't going to do it anymore. And what happens is you quit fighting against the resistance the enemy's given you, because faith always has resistance. Come on. Faith always has resistance. And then you get to the point, oh, I just don't want to fight anymore. It ain't happened. It's been so long. I don't believe it anymore. And I'm just going to quit. Well, what happens is that you just start floating back down the river. You're not fighting anymore. You're just going along with it. And you're just floating right back down the river, right back over here where you were in the dark and in the depression. And you thought, well, you know, I'm just going to go out and get drunk, or I'm just going to go out and get high, or I'm going to just go do whatever my flesh wants to do. And you just keep on floating down here. And you believe the lie of the enemy that, well, hey, you know, if you go take a little drink or you shoot up or whatever, that it's going to make you feel better. Well, where are you? Did it make you feel any better? How many of you have already traveled down that path and you found out the devil is a liar? I'm trying to save somebody a trip. You're just going to waste your time. You're going to have to repent and come back to your senses. And you're going to have to renew your mind. And you're going to have to realize God has called you to walk by faith as long as you're here on this earth. And it is an honor and a privilege. He's called you to go against the tide. He calls you to walk with Him. And He's given you the faith. He can't make it any easier than that. And to give up is not an option. Amen? Well, there's a declaration I'd like for us to say, because we're all in the process of growing our faith. And God is leading us somewhere. And He's leading us to become fully persuaded, just like Abraham. So you have to be more persuaded that God will do what He says He'll do. And this is your faith journey. Now, here's our declaration. Why don't we stand together and just say this out loud with me? Now, these words, when they come out of your mouth, are going to go back into your ears. And it can go down into your heart and affect everything. Because that's where you make life choices, in your heart. You believe with your heart. So let these words be true. And when you say them with confidence. You know this is the will of God. So let's agree together. And this is our faith declaration right now to our body, to our circumstances, to our family, whatever is there that's trying to keep you from becoming what God wants you to be. Let's say it together. Like Abraham, I am moving forward in faith. I am strengthened today as I declare truth, even in the face of seemingly dead circumstances. I am becoming fully persuaded that what God promised, He will do. And you could say, I am fully persuaded that what God has promised, He will do. Do you believe that? Amen. Amen. Is there anybody sick in their body here tonight? Well, I mean, I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm going to get you to believe God if you haven't already. If you haven't already, to just declare over you, be healed. You say, well, how do you pray for people? Well, you just do what Jesus said. You know, Jesus never prayed for anybody to be healed. He declared it. He said, be healed. Take up your mat and walk. He never said, well, pray for him to be healed. No, He declared it. Do you know that that's what the prayer of faith is in James chapter 5 when it says, if there's any sick among you, let the elders come, anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and pray the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is words of confidence. It's not asking God to do something. It's declaring what God said He would do. By His stripes you were healed. Be healed of the Lord. See, that changes the church's way of doing things. That messes up a lot of folks. But that's faith, you see. So if you are sick in body, then that's how we'll pray over you. We won't ask God to heal you. He's already said He would. And He has. We declare what God says, and we impart it to you. We lay hands on them. They recover. We believe that. Do you believe that? Totally contrary from what most of us have been walking in. So it's radical, fanatical, but it's truth. It's true. If you need prayer or ministry here, I'm here be here for a while. I'd be glad to pray with anybody, agree with you about anything that's on your heart to do. If not, we'll just be dismissed. May the Lord bless you tonight with supernatural peace, supernatural rest, supernatural sleep. May visions and dreams come to the forefront of your spirit and your mind understand what God is saying to you. May you walk at a level of being fully persuaded in your faith, just like Abraham this week. Thank you, Father. You'll walk by faith tonight. You'll walk by faith tomorrow morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed. Amen. Also have some scriptures here. I forgot to tell you. Some scriptures you might want to put on your refrigerator. Some of the scriptures we shared tonight, you can take home with you if you like. Brother Russ will have them.
Can you have them put that up there so I can write it down?
Yeah, can you put the declaration?
And back up, please. Thank you. There's some scriptures here for you to carry with you, to meditate upon and chew on.
Thank you, Lord.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped move you closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at www.gracetab.org.